Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We are in our study in the Sermon on the Mount, and this may be a very familiar section to you, verses 25 to 34. We'll look at it this week and, Lord willing, next week as well. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jay Adams, in his little pamphlet, What Do You Do When You Worry All the Time?, gives this opening illustration when it comes to worry. He writes this, Joe's friends all knew him as a worrier. And one day, Bill saw his worrying friend bouncing along as happy as a man could be, whistling and humming and wearing a huge smile. He looked as if he did not have a care in the world. Bill could not hardly believe his eyes, so he had to find out what had happened. Joe, what's happened to you? He asked. You don't seem to be worried anymore. It's wonderful, Bill. I haven't worried for several weeks now. That's great. How did you manage it? Joe explained, I hired a man to do all of my worrying for me. What? Right. Well, I must say that is a new wrinkle. Tell me, how much does he charge you? $1,000 a week? $1,000 a week? How could you possibly raise $1,000 a week to pay him? Joe answered, that's his worry. Now, you may be thinking, that would be wonderful for someone else to handle my worries for me, to handle my fears, to handle my anxieties. And the good news is that is possible. 1 Peter 5, we are to cast all of our anxiety on God. Why? Because he cares for us. And what's best of all, it costs you nothing. He freely offers to take your worries and cares upon himself. And that's what we're going to be learning and studying. How is it that we cast all of our anxieties on the Lord? How is it that we overcome fear, worry, and anxiety? And maybe even asking the question, is that even a possibility? And so many of us struggle with fear and worry and anxiety. In fact, I think it would be fair to say that most of us, if not even all of us here, at some point and sometime in different situations, we do struggle with this. A few years ago, the New York Times wrote an article titled The Epidemic of Worry. And listen to what the author writes. Anxiety is coursing through American society. It has become its own destructive character on the national stage. Worry alters the atmosphere of the mind. It shrinks your awareness of the present and your ability to enjoy what's around you right now. It cycles possible bad futures around in your head and forces you to live in dreadful future scenarios, 90% of which will never come true. Pretty soon you are seeing the world through a dirty windshield. Worry dims every sunrise and amplifies mistrust. A mounting tide of anxiety makes people about the possibility of changing it. Spiraling worry is the perverted underside of rationality. End quote. It is true that worry and anxiety and fear have become an epidemic. But not only has it become an epidemic in the world, it's become an epidemic in the church. As I do biblical counseling, so many that come in for biblical counseling are struggling with anxiety, with fear, with worry. And many are left thinking that there is no hope. And see, this is why I'm passionate about biblical counseling. It's because the Word of God has answers for every single struggle we face, everything we go through, every challenge. There are answers in the Word of God. And when it comes to fear and worry and anxiety, God has revealed much to us, giving us the help we need so we don't have to be left without hope. One of the biggest struggles for Christians, again, as I do biblical counseling, is this struggle with fear, worry, and anxiety. And there is no reason for anyone in the church to struggle alone. This is why you have the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God. You have the body of Christ. We can help one another as we open God's Word with each other and pray for one another and to show each other what God reveals in His Word. And it is God and God alone who can help us to overcome our greatest struggles and challenges in this life. I want you to hear that. It is God and God alone who can help us. And yet, when we struggle with these issues, we can go to everything else or everyone else and go out in the world to the quote-unquote professionals. Because they must have all the answers. And that is the lie the church has bought. And yet, when we go to the professionals, we get answers that are centered on man, answers that are not able to bring about true and meaningful change, answers that are not focused on God and His glory, answers that are not focused on Christ and His redemption. And so when we think we can find answers outside of the Word of God, then we see the Bible as incomplete and insufficient and unable to help people with their problems. We have to remember that God has given us everything we need to live a life that is honoring and pleasing to Him. This is what Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Listen carefully. God's divine power has granted to us, listen to this, everything pertaining to life and godliness. Everything. Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. God has given us everything we need to live a life that is pleasing to Him. And you're familiar with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It's so easy for us to quote, so easy for us to say these verses, but do we believe them? Is the Bible sufficient to handle every single problem you face in this life? We might say yes to that, and yet when there's struggles, the church is pointing people to the world. No, look, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that. Here's the so that. Here's the result. The Word of God is sufficient. And here's the so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for most things. Is that what it says? No. That you may be equipped for every good work. So we can say amen to that. And then yet, when someone comes and they have this problem, they're struggling with fear and worry and anxiety, we point them to the world. We point them to the outside professionals. No. The Word of God has the answers. We are equipped. We are equipped with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And that's what we need to hear loud and clear. This means for many in the church, what many have been taught is that the Word of God is not sufficient to handle the problems we face, such as fear, worry, and anxiety, and many other issues. But we know and we understand and we teach that the Scriptures are sufficient, that God has answers to all of life's problems, that our Lord Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the one who can help us through anything we go through in this life. So where do we turn? The Word of God, this is where we turn to. We turn to the Scripture for answers, not to the world. And I think as we do this study and we see what Jesus says about worry, Jesus teaches us that worry is not necessary, and then proceeds to teach us how to overcome it. So this week, I'll give you reasons why worry is not necessary, and next week, ways in which we can overcome it. And notice once again, Jesus doesn't simply teach us, don't worry, and leave us there. That wouldn't be very helpful for us. He teaches us not to worry, shows us why it's not necessary, and then how to overcome it. I want you to notice verse 25. Here's the command. Do not be worried. This is an imperative. It is a command. And in fact, three times he says, do not worry. Verse 25, do not be worried about your life. Verse 31, do not worry, saying, what will we eat or drink or wear? Verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Three times, such emphasis here from Jesus on not worrying. Now, why do people worry? Why is it that you and I worry? Why is it that you and I become anxious? And the reason is when we're worried, when we're fearful, when we're anxious, we are focused on ourselves rather than on God. I know that's pretty simplistic, right? We're going to unpack that for you. But I just want you to see that this morning is whenever we are worried, the focus, the attention is on us and away from God. You say, well, what is worry? What exactly is worry? This Greek word for worry, it means to divide, to rip, or to tear apart. And that's what worry does to us. The effects of worry rip and tear us apart inside. It's really a combination of two words. One meaning to divide, one meaning to tear apart. So worry leads to a divided mind. One who worries is constantly thinking about the future, and yet the future isn't here yet. And there's nothing that you and I can do about the future, but yet the worrier is constantly thinking about what is going to happen, what is going to take place. Not only is worry about the future, it's also about trying to maintain control. When you and I worry, we are saying that we are in control, that we are sovereign, that we get to determine what is going to happen in our lives. Listen to how David Paulson explains this. He says, central to worry is the illusion that we can control things. If only I could get my retirement right, I could control the future. If I could get my diet and medicine right, I wouldn't get cancer. If I could figure out the right child-rearing technique, I could guarantee how my kids turn out. Yeah, give me that child-rearing technique, that, you know, that answer. I'd love to hear from you. Worry, this is what he says, and listen carefully. Worry assumes the possibility of control over the uncontrollable. The illusion of control lurks inside your anxiety. Anxiety and control are two sides of one coin. When we can't control something, we worry about it. End quote. Can you tell he's a biblical counselor? He nails it. Now, there is a concern that's appropriate. There is what we call godly concern. For example, in 2 Corinthians 11:28, it says that Paul was concerned for all the churches. In Philippians 2, 20 and 21, Paul writes of Timothy saying, "For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus." So as with Paul and Timothy, there is a right, godly concern for those in the church, that we would want to see those in the church spiritually grow. A godly concern that each of us would become more like Christ. We should have concern for our friends and our family members who are outside of Christ. We should be concerned for the lost. We should be concerned for those in the church who are struggling in this fallen world. And yet, godly concern can become sinful anxiety. Godly concern can become sinful anxiety. And you're going to ask, how do you know? Brad Bigney gives 7 ways to think about this. When godly concern becomes sinful anxiety. Number 1, godly concern becomes sinful anxiety when your thoughts are focused on changing the future. Number 2, your thoughts are unproductive, just caught in this spin cycle going around and around and around. Just constantly focused on this one thing, and that's all you're thinking about. Number 3, it controls you instead of you controlling it. Number 4, it causes you to neglect your God-given responsibilities and relationships. Number five, godly concern becomes sinful anxiety when it starts to damage your body. Number six, you start losing hope instead of finding answers. And number seven, you shut down and stop functioning. So, as we come to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching us that worry is centered on self and results in a lack of trust and faith in God. And this is really the heart of the issue. It's as we were saying, God, I know what your word says. I know your power. I know you're in control of all things. I know that you are good and gracious, caring and loving, but I'm not sure if you're going to say what you promised to do. So worry is, as one has put it, worry or anxiety is sinful when God is forgotten or forsaken, when he is not seen as sufficient. Say that again. Worry or anxiety is sinful when God is forgotten or forsaken, when he is not seen as sufficient. So once again, if you're worried, then your focus is on yourself and away from God. And as we'll see, that God wants us to make him the first priority in our lives, to be preoccupied with him and not with the material, mundane things of this world. Why do you think Jesus says, don't worry, right after he teaches on money and possessions and wealth? It's all connected. Remember, we've connected this. We're warned not to put our trust, our hope, our confidence in riches or wealth, but to have a clear, singular focus, a clear, singular vision to do the will of God and the purpose of God for the glory of God and to serve him only. It's when we focus, and this is what we've been learning, when we focus on the things of this world, and it could be money or possessions or wealth or whatever earthly treasure it is, we start worrying about them and as a result, not trusting God. So what do we do about anxiety? What do we do about worry? What do we do about fear? Now, I could simply tell you, trust in your Heavenly Father. That's true, but let's do better than that. But that is true. The more you know about God, the more you know about Christ, the more you will have confidence and trust in him and won't worry. Now, I know that's easy for me to say, and one who does struggle with worry, anxiety. So once again, I'm so blessed to study this because once again, learning in my own life how to trust my Heavenly Father more and more and more. As I said this morning, three reasons why worry is not necessary. And even this morning, my mind, I began to worry about something. I went right back to Matthew 6. So helpful. So if anything else, it's helped me, but I pray it helps you as well. Three reasons why worry is not necessary that Jesus gives to us. Number one, God's provision. Number two, God's protection. Number three, God's promises. God's provision, his protection, and his promises. And they all really blend together. I'm just trying to make a nice little outline for you, but they all really just blend together. Number one, first reason why worry is not necessary is because of God's provision. Look at verse 25. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat, what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? But Jesus is clear. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious about your life. That is your physical life. There's no need to worry about the basic necessities of life. No need to worry about food or clothing. Again, is not life more than food? The body more than clothing? And you have to remember, in the ancient world, at the time of Christ, food was scarce, clothing was scarce. This was something to worry about. But there's a reason we don't need to be worried about our lives. Could be the small, simple things, such as the basic necessities, but it can be anything in life. There's no need to worry about your life. Here's the reason. Very simple. God provides everything you need. Everything you need. God takes care of us. And I know for the most part, we went through this when we studied pray for your daily bread. By the way, how are you doing with that? Are you praying for daily bread? It's so easy just not to do it because we have so much food. We have so much clothing. So why would we even worry about this? We have all the food we need and much more, all the clothing we need and much more, but that's not always true. What happens when things get chaotic in your life? What happens when you lose your job? You don't have the money anymore. You start to worry, don't you? Start to become anxious. Worry, fear, panic, they set in, and it can happen so easily. Fear and worry and anxiety can grip our hearts so very easily. Our family was in the Poconos this week. Saw a few homes burned down. What if that happened to you? Worry set in, fear set in, panic set in. This week, there's a pastor who is in the biblical counseling field, and he was recently diagnosed with classical Hodgkin's lymphoma. Listen to what he writes. He said, God hates cancer and will one day eradicate it along with every result of the fall of Adam and Eve. But it's a great comfort to know that God ordained this illness for me before I was even born. In his righteous wisdom, he decided that this sickness would be the best way to bring him glory and do good to me. I confess to you that my faith has been small at times. When I first heard the news, I was devastated. And I'm sure fear, worry set in for him. But he says the size of one's faith is not what matters most. What matters most is who we place our faith in. I'm sure. Even now, there's times of worry and anxiety about what's going to happen to him. And he goes on, well, cancer has been a shock to me. It was not a shock to God. God has not changed. The steadfast love of Jesus Christ is the same today as it was before my cells metastasized. Cancer has made me weaker than ever, but Jesus is not weak. He's our refuge and strength and a very present help in the worst times of trouble. But see how fear, worry can easily grip our lives. Even asked Levi this week, what are you worried about? And he shared some of that with me. And it's just amazing, isn't it, how we can so easily be gripped by fear and worry. Jesus says, do not worry about your life. I will take care of you. Instead, focus on Christ. Focus on his glory. Then as he says, and we'll see next week, I'll provide everything you need. But we also have seen, haven't we, that we worry when we focus on and love and are preoccupied with the things of this world. I think for us as Christians and where we live today, there's another temptation for us, and that's to go to the other extreme. We have an overabundance of what we actually need, and so we can spend our time worrying about what we have and how much we can have, and We need more than what we have, and to focus our attention on material things and be preoccupied with them instead of God. So we can go the other way. But listen to the question in verse 25. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? For some, it wouldn't be that way. It wouldn't be that way at all. They live for material possessions and things. Here's Sinclair Ferguson. He says, the Christian is not indifferent to eating, drinking, or clothes. They're necessities for living in this world and in society. But they are never his masters. He has learned that he does not need to eat in the most fashionable restaurants in town or cook the most elegant meals in order to live life to the full. I must say, I went over to Mark's. He cooked us some ribs. Let me tell you, we're going to do some ribs, okay? That's not the most elegant, so we're good with that here, okay? But again, Sinclair's not saying don't enjoy food. He's not saying that at all. But for some, it's always about the best food. It's always about the most elegant meals. Nor does he need the latest fashion in clothes to feel, quote unquote, accepted where it really matters. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. All you have to do is just look out in the world and see how much emphasis is put on these things. I know magazines are not a thing really anymore, but just pick up a magazine and fashion, you will see. It's all it's about. Best styles and the new clothes and what you have to have in order to feel accepted in this world. And when you do that, when you live your life that way, then you're just so anxious and worried about being accepted instead of finding your joy in the fact that you are united to Christ and you are accepted in him. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. Life comes directly from God. And since we're made in his image, why worry about anything? For he takes care of us. So if you're worried about the lesser things in life, what about the weightier things in life? That's the point here. If you're worried about things such as food and clothing, you're certainly going to be worried about the weightier matters of life. And when you worry and when I worry, and I have to remind myself of this, when we worry, we're not trusting that the Lord will take care of us. We're not trusting in his sovereign purposes, his plan that he has for us, that he's ordained for your good and for his glory. That's what Jesus is teaching us. And he illustrates this for us. And the argument is from the lesser to the greater. Same point, look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And the point's very simple, isn't it? If God cares for the lesser thing, which is birds, and he takes care of them, and he feeds them and nourishes them so that they will survive, will not God take care of us since we are much more valuable than they are? I don't know how many of you are bird watchers. I know my mother-in-law is here. She's a bird watcher. I am not a bird watcher, so. But I know, as it says here, it's fascinating to see how they survive, isn't it? They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. Birds don't come up with some plan or strategy to keep themselves alive. No, they just get the food they need to survive. They survive by the providence and protection of God. Now, this illustration doesn't mean, it doesn't teach us to be idle or lazy. Birds work hard for their food. They have to search for it and find it and get it and provide it for the other birds and on it goes. They're very busy. But you want to know something? Birds don't worry about where they're going to get their food. Simply, God takes care of them. So why should you be worried? Are you not worth much more than they? Just think about that. Remind yourself of that when you're worried. So first, worry is not necessary because God provides for us. Second reason we don't need to worry is that God protects us. Again, these blend together, but verse 27, and who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Answer, nobody. But is Jesus merely saying that by worrying you won't get anywhere? I mean, that's certainly true, but what Jesus is teaching us is that, yes, God provides all we need, and he sustains us until we go home to be with him. God sustains us until we have fulfilled his purpose and his plan for his glory in our lives. Yes, worrying is going to get you absolutely nowhere. It's not going to add to your life. But why worry about your life when your life is in God's hands? Why worry when God provides everything you need and sustains your life and accomplishes his will for his glory? Again, Sinclair Ferguson's helpful here. He says, it's only when we want to take our lives out of the Father's hands and have them under our own control that we find ourselves gripped with anxiety. Again, that is so very true. It's when we want to take our lives out of the Father's hands and have them under our control so that we can have the outcome that we want and we desire. We are going to control our lives, because if we can control our lives and our situations and our circumstances, we can get the outcome we want. That's what we think when we're worried. And he says, Sinclair does, the secret of freedom from anxiety is freedom from ourselves and abandonment of our own plans. There you go. A little sneak peek into next week. The secret of freedom from anxiety is freedom from ourselves and the abandonment of our own plans. Many who worry how long they're going to live, worrying about getting some disease that may take their life, or worrying about, and just fill in this blank, fill in the blank this morning, what are you worrying about? What is it that you're worrying about? Because once again, when you and I worry, we want to be the sovereign one. We want to be in control, and we are not, and we can't. So I want you to think about that this morning. What is it that you worry about? What is it that you focus on so much, so often about, that captures your time and attention? Jesus says, who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? Worrying doesn't add anything to your life. It takes away from your life. One said, worrying steals our time. He said, worry is like a thief. It steals our time. Our thoughts turn to our troubles, and then rather than praying about them or doing the things God is calling us to do, we waste time worrying about them. He says, worry steals our rest. We lie awake at night anxious about tomorrow, and then we get up too tired to work hard, and this only adds to our anxiety. Worry steals our health as we suffer the physical effects of our anxiety. Worry steals our obedience as it tempts us to other things like irritability, addiction, laziness, or on the other hand, overwork. Worry steals our hope as we fear the worst about the future. End quote. So again, our Lord wants us to trust Him. Again, focus on and be preoccupied with His kingdom and His glory and His purposes. And if we do, we won't lack anything. Now, to illustrate this once again, Jesus gives us an illustration from nature. Look at verse 28. Why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They don't toil, nor do they spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? If we would just take more time to observe nature and watch and look to see how God takes care of his creation, how much more would we be confident of him taking care of us? He says, look at the flowers. Ever do that? Take time to observe flowers. They don't toil. They don't spin. They don't work. They just grow. They don't spin fabric. They don't weave fabric for clothing. They wear what God gives to them. Look at their beauty. If you were to take one of these flowers and put them under a microscope, you would be in wonder and awe. Just even by examining the one petal of a flower, it's astonishing. So much beauty. Jesus says Solomon's robes look like rags compared to them. And what's the point? It's simple. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Flowers have a very short lifespan. Here today, tomorrow they're gone. In ancient times they would take heaps of them, throw them into the furnace, use them as fuel. So God, who gives such beauty to something that is so temporary, do you not think that he will not provide for you and sustain you? He will take care of you. He will take care of your life. By the way, he will take care of everything you go through, no matter what it is in this life, every situation, every circumstance, no matter what it is, he will provide everything you need and protect you and sustain you as you go through it. That is why Jesus is saying there is no need to worry. You say, why do we worry so much? End of verse 30. You of little faith. Why do we worry so much? Such little faith. Now, I find it encouraging that he says you have little faith. He doesn't say you don't have any faith at all. The reason why you worry is your faith is small. The reason why I worry is because my faith is small. If we would just recognize the power of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and truly understand who God is, we would have absolutely nothing to worry about. It's when we forget who God is that's when we begin to worry. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things? Father has provided us with salvation through Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die in our place, for our sins. God, who is perfectly holy, created us in his image to know him and serve him and love him and worship him, and we've all sinned against him. We've all rebelled against him. Every single one of us deserves eternal punishment in hell, the wrath of God on us for all of eternity. And yet God sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and went to the cross, paid the penalty of our sin, and rose from the dead. And it's by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ that we can have life in Christ, eternal life. That's good news. And when we have life in Christ, he provides us with everything. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? So, verse 31, don't worry then. What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? There's no need for it. So worry is not necessary because of God's provision. Secondly, because of his protection, and then thirdly, because of his promises. Verse 32. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. The Gentiles, the pagans, eagerly seek after material things. That's all they have to live for. And just think about how sad that is. How many people you know that are unbelievers and they chase after and they seek after and they live for material things, the things of this world. That is their life. But we who are in the kingdom of God, we who are united to Christ, we who have God as our Father, he loves us and he takes care of us and he promises to do so. This is why Jesus is teaching us, why worry? It is not necessary. And why? Because God will provide for you. He will protect you. He will take care of you. That doesn't mean we won't go through trials, we won't go through suffering, we won't go through hardship, but what it does mean is God promises if we are united to Christ and we're trusting in him, he will sustain us through it all. And he will provide you with everything you need daily. So, there's no need for us to worry. Again, I know that's easy to say. But this is what Jesus teaches us. We don't need to worry because God cares for us. He protects us. He provides for us. And he promises that he'll take care of us. And so, once again, if God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Father, this morning, we thank you for the truth, for your word. We're so very blessed. I know so many of us struggle with fear and worry and anxiety. And yet, there's no need to. It's not necessary. Because, Father, you provide everything we need. Why worry about our lives when you are the one who provides for us? Easy for us to focus our thoughts away from you, away from your purposes, to be caught up and consumed with worry and fear and anxiety, that it can grip our hearts, our minds, and we're so very blessed that we don't need to. It's not necessary because of who you are, Father. We thank you that you protect us, that you are accomplishing your will in our lives for your glory. That no matter what happens in our lives, we know that you have ordained it for our good and for your glory. And yes, that is hard because we do go through very hard circumstances and trials, very painful ones. But we know that you are accomplishing in our lives that which is best for us, to conform us to the image of Christ. But we thank you, Father, for providing and protecting us, and that you have promised to take care of us and sustain us. So, Father, I pray that we would trust you, that we would know more and more about you and your power and your glory and who you are, so that we would have greater confidence in you, greater trust in you. The times that we have little faith, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen our faith. So, Father, we thank you this morning. I pray for those here who are struggling with anxiety, that, Lord, you would use your word to help them and change them. I pray as well for those who are here and have not come to faith in Christ and certainly are worried and anxious about everything. Lord, that you would draw them to yourself in salvation, that they would, by your grace, see Christ and his beauty and his glory and be drawn to him, that they can be reconciled to you through faith in Jesus by his death and resurrection. So, Father, I pray that we'd cast all of our anxieties on you because you care for us. We pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.